slipped in my shoe. I don't know how. My shoelaces on this one shoe were like in every direction, all over the place. Because my little dog Chip likes shoelaces, and he, so maybe I may just walk out of this shoe today. But he's got them. I need some new ones because he's got them popped here and there, or chewed through here and there. But anyway, that's my little buddy, so he gets away with stuff. So anyway, all right, Acts chapter 2 in your Bibles. Acts chapter 2. Aren't you glad for your church? Aren't you glad God gave you a place, a good place, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, loving church family to be a part of? I don't know how many times I talk with people and I going through times, hard times, and I'm like, do you have a church? No. Well, you sure don't. You need one right now. You could certainly use one. Now, I've preached on this passage, I don't know, I want to say dozens of times, probably not that many, but several times. And I would imagine about every pastor has. These are great, great passage in the Bible about the New Testament church and what it needs to be, what it was in the early days, what it needs to be now. And I hope we can draw some things out of it to help us today. So let's stand together, if you're able, and we'll read verses 42 through 47 there at the end of the chapter. Let's start in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Father, guide and direct us today. We need your power. We need your comfort. We need your direction. We need your help. Thank you, Lord, for this model, this example of the early New Testament church. And, Lord, I pray you'd help all your churches. Lord, steer us all in the right direction according to your scriptures. And, Lord, help Liberty Baptist Church to be on the right track, stay on the right track. And, Lord, to be the church that we need to be, not just the facilities, not just the building, but the church, the people, to be what you need us to be so you can use us here in this community and in the world, and continue to do your work through us. God, direct us now as we preach on this morning, and I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The great need for New Testament churches. I believe that's a great need in America today. We need good churches, amen. We need good, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, loving, unified churches. Get along together kind of churches, right? I was in a church Wednesday night, and they did things a little bit different there, but they got to the end, and the pastor said they were about to do church conference, a business meeting, and I stood up. I knew the guy in front of me. I stood up. I said, well, I guess I better get out of here. I didn't know y'all were having a business meeting tonight. And he was like, oh, it only takes about 3 minutes. We don't fight or nothing. It'll be done, you know. And he said, the pastor may want you to pray at the end or something like that. So I sat back down and I stayed, and he was right. It just lasted a few minutes, and the pastor got up and said something like, boy, this is the easiest church I've ever pastored. You know, we just, and they, what it is, by the way, they do monthly, Wednesday, monthly. I told the guy in front of me, I'm glad it went well, but we do annual, and those go good too, amen? So I like that, but there's a lot of churches where business meetings are, boy, that's a fun time for some. The ones that like to fuss and fight and argue and, you know, all of that. I'm glad we don't have that kind of thing. Amen? I'm glad we've got the love of God shed abroad in our hearts for the work of God and the family of God. And the work of God includes the people out there in the world that we need to reach. Amen? But we need gospel-centered, Bible-preaching churches that follow the Lord, follow Jesus, that love one another and help one another, and that spread the gospel like the ones that you find in the New Testament. Paul the Apostle wrote these epistles, these letters to those churches, and now what he wrote to those churches is also written to our church. Now, you notice it said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. That's the teaching that the apostles gave them, that and even at this time, they didn't have all the writings of Paul yet, so they would eventually get all of that. And they continued, and the church has continued in the apostles' doctrine. By the way, where did the apostles get their doctrine or their teaching? They got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, with Paul and James and Peter and the New Testament writers, the Holy Spirit gave them the doctrine of Christ, if you will, the teachings of Christ. And that's what we're still going by today, amen? It's what we're still preaching today. But I'm afraid too many churches just don't have or have little to no influence in their ministry. Now, you notice it said here that in verse 43, fear came upon every soul. Now, I don't want people to be scared of our church, right? You don't want people to be scared of your church. I've known some churches that have scared people. I had a guy in South Carolina come to my church one day, and he said, "That other church I've been going to is scaring me, so I'm coming over here." You know, you can about imagine what kind of church he was going to, by the way. But I don't think our church ought to be scaring people, but here's the idea. They saw God at work. They saw God doing things in hearts and lives, and it got their attention is what it means. I mean, it says right there in that same verse, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That God was doing things through the church. And I tell you, when people can sit up and pay attention and say, "Hey, God is there." Have you ever heard anybody say, "You know, I came to your church and I could sense the presence of the Lord there"? I've heard it. I've heard that. That's about the greatest compliment you can get. Amen. I hear people say that the church is so friendly. Well, that's good. That's great. I hear people say that is great, great preacher you got. I'm kidding. But you hear these things, people make compliments about your church, but the best thing that they can say is, whenever I hear people say, I could sense the presence of the Lord in the midst. And I tell you what, lost people don't like to get in the midst of that. When they need to get in the midst of it, because they will get the fear of the Lord when they get into the presence of the Lord. Amen, right? Backsliders too. That's why it's hard to get some folks in church. If it's the right kind of church, by the way. And there's some churches they'll feel very comfortable in, and they make an effort to make them feel very comfortable. But I tell you what, if you're lost or backslidden, you ought not be very comfortable until you get right with God. Amen? If you're in the right kind of church, it'll make you feel uncomfortable until you get what I read about here. And at the end of verse 46, it says, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I tell you, salvation will make you glad. Amen? Salvation will make you joyful. Are you glad you're saved today? You glad you're on your way to heaven today? You glad you got the Lord sailing with you, as the choir sang about this morning? Is He sailing with you? Oh, that doesn't mean you're not in a storm. But He's there with you. Amen? He's sailing with you. And you can go through life with gladness of heart and singleness. That means you got a focus, you got a purpose now that you didn't have before. When you're lost in darkness, you don't have singleness of heart or mind. You don't have purpose, you don't have direction. But I tell you what, when you get the Lord, He'll give you that, right? And you know you have a destination, which is heaven. We know that. And the will of God on this earth. But too many churches today, I'm afraid, don't have influence like that. Oftentimes we find churches that are me-centered or us-centered, or it's the holy huddle, you know, or it's us four and no more. I've seen those attitudes in churches before. I've seen churches growing before and get rid of the preacher because new people were coming in. I've seen it. Why'd they get rid of you? Because we're reaching new people. What's wrong with that? They don't want new people. And I don't want to be at that church, right? You notice 3,000 people at one time got saved? And the Lord was adding to the church daily? Now that's the early New Testament church. And we pray for that today. But too many churches are inward focused, and that's a problem. The Great Commission, as someone has said, has become the Great Omission. In other words, we don't talk about witnessing anymore. We don't talk about souls anymore. We don't talk about reaching the lost anymore. We have omitted the commission that the Lord has given to us. You know why we talk about a missionary of the week every Sunday? Because we want to be about the Great Commission, right? We this person's in Brazil. We want to help them reach their area there in Brazil. Amen? And we want to pray for them, give them support that way. We want to send finances, give them support that way. We want to help them out. Why? Because we want the Great Commission not to be omitted from our program. And that's the way it is. I think every now and then, folks, you just got to get back to the book of Acts and this passage here and be reminded about the great need for a New Testament church. The world needs New Testament churches. Let's take a fresh look at this today, give you three thoughts. Number one, there was faithful witnessing in this church. There was faithful witnessing in this church. They had a faithful witness. That's why souls were at it. In verse 41, it talks about they gladly received His Word and were baptized. How'd they receive it? Because somebody offered it to them. Peter had preached there on Pentecost and preached the truth of the gospel from the Old Testament Scriptures, by the way. Jesus is all through the Bible, amen? And they were offered salvation and they gladly received salvation. I wish more folks would receive it gladly, amen? Hey, if they receive it, they get glad. But you know, a lot of people aren't receiving it gladly. They get mad at you for telling them about it. That's why it's hard to be a witness sometimes, isn't it? You ever find it hard to be a witness at work or to family and all of that? Why? Because it seems like there's a barrier, there's a wall, there's a hostility there. Well, if they ever receive it, they'll get glad. Amen? But right now, at that moment, they're not real glad that you're talking to them. That's a spiritual battle, isn't it? But those that did hear it and did receive it, received it gladly. It said again at the end of verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Or I think that idea is those who would be saved because it's offered to everybody. I mean, the Lord gave them the Great Commission to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and they got busy doing it. They were faithful witnesses. You know, in Acts 1:8, of course, is the Great Commission, the fifth time it's recorded in the Bible. It's in all four Gospels, and then it's in Acts 1:8 to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you know what I think? I wish everybody took it personally to be a witness. To be a witness. The Lord has made you a witness. And when you say, I thought that was a preacher's job. I thought that was a missionary's job. I thought that was a Sunday school teacher's job. I thought that was the kids' church teacher's job. No, it's the Christian's job. Amen? Y'all with me today? To get the gospel out to wherever you are. It's not just for the apostles in that day. It's not just for the preachers today. It's not just for those who have the gift. I've heard people say, well, you know, preacher, I don't have the gift of witnessing. That's not a gift. You say the gift of evangelism. The Lord gives a gift. Some people have the gift of giving the gospel like an evangelist, but this is not really a gift. This is a command to be witnesses unto me, right? And all of us need to take that seriously and take that personally, that wherever I am, I need to be a witness and let my light so shine. People have said, preacher, I want you to visit somebody. Great, I'll do it. I want you to go with me to talk to somebody. Great, I'll do it. But you know what? There on your job, or your corner of the world, that's your place to let your light shine. Amen, right? And God wants you to let your light so shine wherever you are, and God wants you to witness and talk to people wherever you are. I think we all need to see it as our responsibility to share the gospel. Now you say, well, I've tried it before and they won't listen to me. Try being a preacher. I talked to Isaiah and Jeremiah about it, by the way. You know what? That's not the issue. Well, they won't listen to me, preacher. That's not the issue. Jesus told you to go tell them, and that's the issue, right? Right there. Jesus told you to go tell them. That's the only issue that there is, right there. The Lord told us to be witnesses unto them. So did we tell them? I think that'll be at the judgment right there. Did you tell them? I told you to tell them. I told you to tell those folks that where I placed you and those folks where who are around you, those folks you rub shoulders with, so to speak, I told you to go tell them. How about this? I think they prayed for souls too. You know, before those 3,000 got saved, they had a prayer meeting. You know, Pentecost happened after a prayer meeting. The power of God and the Holy Spirit fell after a prayer meeting. You know what, folks? You know why sometimes it's hard to witness to people? Because we did it without praying. We did it without going in the power and the help of the Lord, right? So we need the Lord. We're just a witness of Him. And we need the Lord to go with us and help us. So we need to realize, and we need to always be praying for lost souls. Ways to witness. Let me mention this. Keep a good testimony to start with. At work, keep a good testimony. Y'all want to say amen or oh me right there? At work, keep a good testimony, right? Boy, that's hard, preacher. That's Christian living right there, isn't it? Keep a good testimony. Keep a clean testimony. Be conscious of it on the job, at school, wherever you are. Be conscious of that. Your circle of influence, you're there to represent Jesus, right? You're an ambassador. The Bible says you're an ambassador, not to some nation. You're an ambassador to your corner of the world, your circle of influence. You're an ambassador. Keep a good testimony. Live right, live clean. Because you know what? You know how that is. They don't want to listen to you if you're doing the same things they're doing, right? They don't want to hear that. People want to see a real Christian, right? They'll be more apt to listen to that. Talk to those around you. You say, I don't like to talk to people. I'd rather people leave me alone. I get that. But listen, try to be nice, talk to people. But get to where you can talk to people about church. And then if you can talk to them about church, you can talk to them about the Lord. And if you can talk to them about the Lord, you can talk to them about the gospel and their soul and salvation. Amen? That's just being a witness. Get into the habit of that. How about gospel tracts? I like gospel tracts. I try to keep them with me all the time. Sometimes I've gotten a situation where I wanted to give one out and didn't have one. I try not to let that happen often. Give them to anybody, anywhere. Leave them with a tip. Put them in an envelope when you send your bills. Just use gospel tracts. You know what that is? That's sowing the seed, isn't it? You know, the more you sow the seed as a church, the more harvest you can expect. That's what the Bible teaches, and we know that in nature, right? The more seed, the more harvest. Well, when we give out gospel tracts or any of that, or a witness to people, we're sowing the seed of the Lord. How about this? Just invite people to church. You know, I think every church, and I think the early church had it, I think every church ought to have what I call a culture of inviting. Invite people to church. If you believe you got a good church, you ought to invite people to it. Honestly, I heard a man lament the other day. He told me his church wasn't doing good. There were so many things he was dissatisfied with. He said, we're drying up and dying. He said, my wife told me the other day to invite a certain person. And I said, why? Do I want to invite them to come die with the rest of us? That's a hard place to be. I don't want us to get there, amen, to where we say, well, I don't think I want to invite anybody to my church because we got to do some serious praying for our church if we get there, amen, right? But the culture of inviting, I'm glad new people come into this church, and oftentimes it's because somebody invited them, right? And I can think of many instances where people have come to the church at the invitation of somebody else. Now, it doesn't matter what it is, you can bring up Jesus in church. I remember several years ago whenever I had the Bantams, I used to, show the Bantams and raise the Bantams. I had a guy come to me, he bought some birds from me, some Bantams. And we got to talking about things. Well, come to find out as we talked, he was in an independent Baptist church in eastern North Carolina, somewhere else in eastern North Carolina. And he told me, and I said, well, how'd you get there and all that? And he said, well, there's another guy that used to come by my house all the time just to talk chickens. I said, you can use anything. Amen. Whatever a person's interest in is. He said, this guy would come by and talk chickens, and we would swap and trade. He said, but he would always say, when are you coming to visit me at my church? And he said, finally I went. And now I've been there, been a part of it for several years. Why? Because somebody was in the habit of inviting. And again, I can think of several instances around here where somebody invited, somebody came. Amen, right? And that's what was going on right there in that church. I'm just saying, every community needs a church that has a faithful witness for Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about their soul and getting their soul saved, not through our friendliness or kind, but through Jesus. The power is in the blood. Amen? That's the message. Let's be faithful in our witness. Let me say number two is this. There was a focused worship as well. There was focused worship. Now in verse 42, they steadfastly continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now I know they praised God. I think they were singing. They got together on a regular basis for worship. Isn't that what we do? That's what our schedule says, right? They continued steadfastly. You ever know anybody that didn't continue steadfastly? They've dropped out, fell out, work, school, church, whatever. They did not continue steadfastly. They were not firm in this. But you know what? These folks got grounded in the Word of God. And they got grounded there in the teachings of the apostles and the Word of God. I think they sang, they praised, they preached, they fellowshipped. They ate together. It says they ate together. So again, the early church was Baptist. Amen. It says they ate together a couple times. So, you know, it's got to get that in there a couple of times. Amen? And they ate with gladness. We do that around here too, right? Amen? You have fellowships with food with gladness. Amen? Look forward to that. So they were doing that. They were gathering for focused worship. Singleness of heart is focused worship. They were focused on the Lord. And this is still going on today. You know, they have such a big church. They might have, I know Sunday school wasn't invented yet, but they might have had a little version of small groups, as we call it today, or classes and to teach and help people. You know, that's a great tool that's been around forever. Sunday school, amen, to get people in an aged group, and learn on their level. I mean, that's a great thing that we have. I mean, what does that mean? That means that they were a structured church, I do believe. They had dynamic worship because it said fear came upon everybody. Why? They saw God at work. They heard singing and praising that if they were saved, they wanted to get in on it, right? If they weren't saved, they were influenced by it. These people were fervent in their worship for the Lord. It was dynamic. They saw God doing things in their life. I don't think it was formal, boring, ritual, quiet, or dead. Amen. Right? I think they shouted amen in church. Y'all believe that? There's biblical places for that. A lot of you are shouting amen in your heart right now. Amen. And it'll come out of your mouth one day, right? And probably in heaven. Amen. But we'll shout up there in heaven, right? Hey, but they were worshiping the Lord. They were singing praise unto God. And they were testifying, by the way. Oh, what was that? Last Sunday night, I think I opened up for testimonies. And we had several. I like that. Several folks were testifying. That's a good thing. Amen. Right there. So I think they enjoyed church. You believe you ought to be able to enjoy church? You believe somebody said that to me last week, that we were laughing about something in here, and somebody said to me after church, it's one thing I like about this church, it's got a sense of humor, amen, right? I like that. I think I was talking about Travis and his coat that day or something, you know, whatever, but it's okay to have fun at church. Y'all believe that? Y'all with me today? Y'all here? I don't have a good joke right now. Y'all just smile anyway, but we ought to have fun at church. We ought to have the joy of the Lord. We ought to have gladness. Should it be serious? Should the preaching be serious? You got to have a balance of it, right? You know, if it's all fun and games, we're not after that. We're not after fun and games, but we are after the joy of the Lord in our midst and in our presence, right? But there ought to also be those somber, serious moments and of preaching the Word of God. It ought to be convicting and unsettling if we're away from the Lord, right? If we're drifting from God. I've had people say, that's the message I needed this week. Thank you. I like to hear that. I've had honest confessions. You know, I'm not a priest. We don't do confession, but you know what I mean. I've had people say that preacher, that one hit me today, and I needed to get hit like that today with that message. Well, that's good. I want that to be the case. But that's the Lord's work, right? Preacher, you preached right at me today. No, I didn't. The Holy Spirit did, though. Amen. He knows what's going on with you. He knows what you need. He knows how to apply it. It is serious at times, but it's also joyful at times. It is unsettling at times, and it's glad at times. I've heard people say, I enjoyed that message, and I'm thinking, really, did you? Because I didn't. That one today, you know, just wasn't a very enjoyable message for me either, you know. But sometimes we're in the habit of that. But I understand what's meant by that. I got something out of it, I hope, is what that means. So this church had faithful witnessing. All churches need to get back to that. Amen? Y'all agree with that? There's power in the blood. We can sing about it, but we need to tell this world about it too, right? We need to tell others about it, tell them about the gospel. There was focused worship. I mean, they worshiped, they thought about what they were singing. I always tell you that. Think about these songs. Think about what you're singing. Sing it as unto the Lord. Worship the Lord. That's what the song time is for. Pray fervently. In the service, pray for the preacher, pray for the choir, pray for everybody serving, pray for God to speak to your heart while you're here, pray for the presence of the Lord before you even get here, and bring the presence of the Lord with you, amen, right? So that we can have that focused worship that we know that we need. So faithful witnessing, focused worship, let me give you number three. There was fervent watchfulness as well. Fervent watchfulness was there. Now, you some people get confused by these verses here, but it says in verse 44, all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men, as every man had need. Now, there was fervent watchfulness there. Now, that wasn't some kind of socialistic, communistic thing. No, they were voluntarily helping each other out. Is what that is. Now, I said there was fervent watchfulness. Fervent implies genuine concern. They loved their local church. It was a mega church from right off the bat, and they didn't know everybody. There was no way to know everybody, but they loved their church. They didn't know everybody, but they loved the people of their church. Why? Because God put that love in them. And I think when you get right with God and you get in church, God will give you love for your church. You love the location, you love the history, you love the facility, but it's more than that. You love the people, right? You love the church family. You love the people that you minister with. And you sometimes may barely know people, and we've met so many people through the years, new people that come in that eventually just become a part of the church, right? And that's what was happening there. And you come to love one another. Some people have come in, and some people have gone out, moved away, and some of you still have close friendships and relationships with them. Amen, right? People you didn't even know, but where did you meet them? You met them at church. And you can meet a lot of good people at church. When I was a teenager, I met a redheaded girl at church, amen, and married her, right? You can meet a lot of good people at church. Thank God for that. Never dreamed I'd marry a redhead back in those days, but everybody tells me it was predestined because my name was Rusty, and that means that, amen. That was the Lord right there, amen. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. But anyway, it has worked out great. Amen? You meet people at church. You come to love people at your church. They love the saints. They love the sinners too. And they welcomed them into the midst, right? We ought to welcome anybody and everybody. It was fervent love of God in their hearts for each other and one another and others as well. But I said fervent watchfulness. Because this says they were watching out for one another. They were meeting needs. Now, this says, literally, they were meeting material and financial needs. People were selling off their possessions, bringing the money to the church to meet needs. Now, you say, why in the world would that be? Well, one reason is, in those days, if you became a Christian, oftentimes you got persecuted. your business got boycotted because you turned to that Christianity, what the book of Acts called the way. You went to the way. You went that way. You know, a lot of people's not happy when you get saved. You know, that family members sometimes are not happy when you get saved and get right with God. Have you ever met up with that? That somebody, you thought everybody at the church was so happy that you got saved and baptized, but you talked to family members or somebody at work or school, and they weren't as happy about it. And they might have mocked you about it. They might have ridiculed you about it. In this case, they got persecuted for it. So they literally were meeting the needs of one another. They had to look out for each other. That's why I said earlier, look, people get on hard times sometimes, and I'm like, do you have a church family? No. This would be a great time to have a church family. You need, has your church ever supported you? Have you ever felt the prayer support of your church family? Have you ever benefited from the outreach and the love of your church, right? You know, my mom just, after my dad died, she talks about how, she said, well, you know, she said, our church isn't the biggest church, but I declare they outdone themselves. They met every need, and they've been there for her and helping out with this and bringing food, you know. That's a church family right there. That's kind of what was happening right here. And you've seen it here so many times where people have taken a meal and met a need, and so many times you don't even see it, but it's happening, amen, right? Why, that's the love of... And then somebody goes through a time of grief or crisis or bereavement. Their church family is there for them. There's people right now, you know, I mentioned the Chase family. You need to be praying for them right now. As a church family, reach out to them, support them, encourage them. And I believe that's what a good church family will do. Amen? And that's where people find... this world, by the way, has alternatives, but they all come up short. I mean, the Barstool friends, that friendship's only going so far, right? But I tell you what, I find lasting friendships in God's house with God's people, amen? That is fervent and genuine concern, and it is there to actually meet needs. You know, by the way, speaking of that they got persecuted for getting saved. 3,000, boy, that was a big church. They still were in the minority. And today you are in the minority to be a Bible-believing church and a Bible-believing Christian. I mean, you know it. If you go to work or school tomorrow and announce it, you'll find out you probably are in the minority. You go and tell them, hey, I'm a Christian and this is what I believe. And they'll say, well, I'm a Christian too, but I don't see it that way. Well, go read your Bible and you'll agree with me and God too. Amen? And you'll find yourself in argument. They'll claim they're a Christian, but they won't agree with you. And you say, well, I just agree with what the Bible says. A lot of folks call themselves Christians today. There's something else. Y'all with me? I'm trying not to go somewhere on this right now, but you know it's the truth. When that Pope thing happened, boy, did you see those crowds? Okay, I'm a Baptist, amen? And I believe the Bible. I'll just say that right now. This is a genuine, real church, right? They responded to crises. They helped one another out. They believed the right things. They put away divisions. The Bible says they were all in one accord. They were unified together. They loved each other. And I've seen churches before where they loved the furniture more than they did the people. That's traditionalism. That happens in some churches, older churches. I've seen that. I've seen churches where they loved a certain... some churches you wouldn't change the carpet or anything else in because they love that more than they love the people. I've seen that. First little church I pastored, I'd move some things around and I got in trouble. You weren't supposed to do that. They had a little room in the back, and I put a table in there. I put some gospel tracts in there because they didn't have nothing, and I announced it. Well, that's the bridal room. You weren't supposed to touch that. You ain't had a wedding in this place in 30 years. So, I mean, come on. That was the truth, too. But it was the bridal room. You don't touch that, you know, stuff like that. Anyway, but just the way it's set up, and don't sit in my seat, you know. I mean, you know, stuff like that. That's tradition, too. But anyway, sometimes we love things more than we love people. Now, that's true in the world, but I'm saying sometimes it's true in the church, too. Get a heart right with God, we'll care about people. Amen. We'll care about each other. We'll care when there's a prayer request going out. There's a prayer need. There's a material need. We'll care. Amen. For each other. That's in the Bible, right? That's what the early church was doing right off the bat. Who told them to do that? Well, the apostles' doctrine might have, but I think the Holy Spirit was leading them. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts to where we just care about each other. We have a concern, and not just a concern, it's a love for each other. No wonder the people were fearful, because they were seeing things they'd never seen before. Their religious system didn't show that kind of love. Their religious system was harsh and hard. It was not loving. It was not compassionate like Jesus. He showed them something different, didn't he? He showed that he cared, and they didn't understand. And that's why Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. You know, Jesus might have been comparing that to the religious Pharisees. He might have been comparing that to the religious system of their day that was so hard and harsh and was all about the rules, and they didn't love anybody. They crucified Jesus because he did love people. And Jesus told the disciples, by this one thing right here, everybody will know that you belong to me because you love the saints and sinners alike, and because you love the Savior and the Savior loves you. Amen? That's what was in the early church. That's what we need to see in churches today. A love and a compassion and a concern for each other when people are going through things. You know, I think the world needs to see real Christianity. It might scare them. That's what was happening there. To see real Christianity that changes lives. Real Christianity that brings a love for the Bible, a love for the church, a love for the souls, a love for the saints. I think the world needs to see a real Christianity like that. And I think we need to strive for that testimony and that model that you see in the book of Acts, so we've preached through it, and that you saw there in the early church. Don't you think? And by the way, I'm not saying we don't have it. I believe this is a good church. This is a Bible, gospel-centered, loving God, loving others, local New Testament church right here. I believe that. And we want to stay that way. We want to become more of that. You know, one of the things you need to be doing as a Christian is becoming more like Christ. And as all of us are doing that, our church is doing that, right? If all of us are becoming more like Christ, and all of us are spending time with the Lord, all of us are getting the love of God in our hearts, a hatred for sin and a love for souls and the saints, we get that from the Lord. And if all of us are becoming more like the Lord, our church becomes and looks like the Lord more and more and more. And we ain't there yet. You say, that's an insult. No, I'm talking to me too. That's not an insult. We all have more to do on becoming more like Jesus. Amen? I know we come up short and we miss the bullseye. We miss the mark. Romans 3:23 tells us that. But I tell you what, we got saved. Amen. We got saved. And now we're to become more like the Lord. Not more like the religious system. That's what they had. That's what they were getting away from. More like the Lord. The reason it says the things it says about them is because they got it from Jesus. They were doing what they saw Jesus do. The apostles' doctrine came from Christ. The love that they had for each other, that was the compassion of Christ. May God help us. That's why I say there's a great need for New Testament churches in America today. Not just religious institutions, but true, local, New Testament churches. That's what will bring revival and change the world. Or, let me say it like this, just touch another soul. Just reach one more with the gospel. That's what we're after, amen? One soul at a time. Or maybe a dozen in Bible school, amen. How about that? Pray for that. We've seen that before. But let's do what we do for the right reason, the right motive, and with the love of Christ. And we'll care about each other. We'll love each other. We'll be there for each other, right? And whenever it's your crisis time and you're on the receiving end of it, you'll appreciate it, right? And you've been there. You know. You've been there. May God help us to be the right kind of church. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. And as the music plays, you know, you can come, get on this altar, ask God's help in whatever way you need it here today. Dear Father, speak to us now. Lord, move in our midst. Touch our hearts. Just help us all, Lord, to look at this passage in this early church. And Lord, help us to be that in our as individuals, but also as a church. And I ask it in Jesus' name this morning.